Hallelujah. Welcome again. Glory to God. Welcome to your Daily Faith Boost, your everyday energizer. It's just always a privilege by God granted unto me to be a part of your day some way, somehow. And thank you for allowing me, all right, to come into your day. I really appreciate it. It means a lot to me. Thanks for the trust. Thanks for opening up your heart. Thanks for believing that something you would get from these episodes that we keep rolling out. And thank you for always being there. And also, yes, for sharing. I believe you've been telling one or two persons. If you haven't, I know you still will. So, hey, thanks. All right. So, we are here on the very third episode, The Lord, My Shepherd. And I want us to kick off with some things we said. All right. And that was yesterday. Okay. He is the shepherd. We are the sheep. All right. He leads. We follow, and this is super important. He's a shepherd. I'm the sheep. He's a shepherd. I am the sheep. He leads. I follow. He's the shepherd. I am the sheep. He leads. I follow. Holy Spirit, we honor you. Just join your faith together with me. We honor you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your ministry in our lives. You are the Spirit of Jesus. You are here to do in us, to perfect in us, to furnish in us all that the Lord Jesus perfected for us. You are here to bring us into the reality. You are here to grant us revelation, understanding. You are our shepherd. Jesus is, you are, because you are the Spirit of Jesus. You and Him are one. You feed, you guide, you instruct us, that we may stand perfect and complete in all the will of the Father. Oh, hallelujah. I just thought, you know, we just acknowledge the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's just so important. Really, like, very important. You could help me just plan ahead. Sunday, 5 p.m. Nigerian time. All right. For the influence of the Spirit. Okay, let's just talk a bit. We got to talk about the Holy Ghost. Yeah, it's just important. So, guys, we ended yesterday with Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah 51 is talking to the nation of Israel and saying, guys, look to Abraham, your father. All right. Look to Sarah that gave birth to you. When I called him, he was alone. And then I blessed him and I multiplied him. It's also important. I mean, that God could use a man as a yardstick. But I want us to observe a few things. Is that okay? So Isaiah 51 again. Right. But verse 2 is what I just, you know, talk to us about, but we'll pick it properly from King James verse 1. It says, hearken unto me, you that follow after righteousness, right? You that seek the Lord, look unto the rock from which you are hewn, and from the hole of the pig from which you are dug. Verse 2 says, look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that gave birth to you, for I called him alone, and I blessed him, and increased him. And this is exciting, okay? I love verse 3 here. It says, for the Lord will comfort Zion. So in case you're listening and you're like, things are not the way you want them to go, verse 3 is for you. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. Waste places, you know, places that have been affected, you know, destroyed, you know, just like a life that has been hurt, you know, messed up, disappointed, all right? Not fruitful as it should be, okay? Barren, unproductive, waste places. He says he will comfort her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of many. This is what God is saying. Okay, but God now, having talked about Abraham, it's wonderful that you and I now say, okay, let's go look at the life of Abraham. We all just talk about Abraham being blessed. Don't forget what I'm talking about, the Lord being our shepherd. And Psalm 23, all right, says, the Lord is my shepherd, I would not lack. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Our responsibility as sheep is to follow the shepherd. We're not wired to argue with the shepherd. Right? We're not even wired to try to lead. Like, okay, Lord, I think you're too slow. I don't think I get where you're going. I don't think I understand what you're doing. So, you know, we don't try to be in front. He is the shepherd. We are the sheep. He leads. We follow. Did you get that? He is the shepherd. You are the sheep. He is the shepherd. I am the sheep. He leads. I follow. You need to say that to yourself again. He leads. Or you say to him, Lord, you lead. I follow. You lead. I follow. Is that all right? So Abraham is basically our case study today, all right? So go to Hebrews and the 11th chapter, all right? The book of Hebrews, beautiful faith chapter in the Bible. And we're told here about Papa Abraham. So what does the Bible have to say about him? Hebrews 11 and verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called out to go into a place which he should receive, all right, later for an inheritance, he obeyed. He went out not knowing where he was going. This for many of us would, you know, almost kind of like sound absurd. How can you tell me a grown-up man could step out of the house and not know where he's going? But that's what happened, all right? Abraham left the house not knowing where he was going. So I'm just going to read 8, 9, maybe 10, all right? So Hebrews, King James, all right? Hebrews 11, 8, 9, 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive an inheritance, he obeyed. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as, you know, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He looked for a city which had foundations, which builder and maker is God. So Abraham steps out by faith. Abraham just, I mean, get out of your country. So we're going to go to where it happened. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get out, Abram, here. Yeah, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, unto a land that I will show you. So we see Abraham not leaving, you know, the house with full information, not leaving the house with full revelation, not leaving the house with full understanding. So Genesis, you know, 12, just speak 1, 2, 3, 4, all right? Popular, you know it again, all right? Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get out of your country, kindred, father's house, to a land that I will, all right? Not to this land. He didn't say, oh, go here. No, to a land I will show you. Then God begins, and I will make, you know, you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and curse them that curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse four begins by saying, so Abraham departed. Did you get that? So Abraham departed. One interesting thing you notice about the life of Abraham is a promptness, a quickness. God speaks to him and he acts it out. God says something to him and then he does it. You understand that? God speaks. Abraham does it. So God says, get out of your country, your kindred. Because we love to talk about the blessing of Abraham, we have to look at the lifestyle of Abraham. And a key factor here is obedience. Obedience. In Genesis chapter 17, okay, God begins to talk to Abraham about the covenant. All right, so Genesis 17, 21. God said, but my covenant will I establish, all right, with Isaac, and Sarah will bear, which Sarah will bear unto you by this time next year. All right, and God left off talking, you know, with him, and God went up for Abraham. This is, God had already told him about circumcision. All right, okay, let me just show you where that is. So, verse 11, well, 10. 9, 9, 10. So let's just speak from 9. And God said to Abraham, you will keep my covenant, all right? You, your seed after in all their generations, this is my covenant which you will keep between me and you, all right? And your seed after you, every man child among you will be circumcised. And you will circumcise the flesh of the foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised amongst you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in your house, bought with money of a stranger, you know, which is not your seed. Whoever is, everybody circumcised. So let's just go straight to where it happened. 23 now. So God is done talking to Abraham. God is gone. And Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the same day as God had said unto him. All right? This is someone saying, there's nothing we're going to wait for. And see how difficult this could have been. 24. And Abraham was 90 years old and 99 years old when he circumcised the flesh of his foreskin. Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the same day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael, his son, and all the men of his house, born in the house, bought with money of a stranger, were circumcised. I mean, this was going to be a painful experience. Abraham was willing to obey God. This is the life of the man. This is not, listen, many times we get our own self stuck all because we think we have a better idea. And trust me, sometimes you could even be doing very well for yourself in many, 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 many things, but somehow you might be drowning the voice of the Spirit. Because very many times people, you know, get involved in stuff and say, well, God didn't tell me otherwise. Question is, did you try to ask him? Now, I understand, all right, the principle of God didn't tell me otherwise, but that usually would be if I could say, I mean, if you could say sincerely, your fellowship with God is top-notch. As in, like, high up there. You and God, you know, you, like, yarn very often, have a flow of it. I mean, it would be easy to say, well, he could tell me stuff because he tells me stuff. You know, but you're crammed up, your mind is high, there's a lot of activity around you. You might even have seen yourself make a couple of wrong decisions. Even people that try to pray often still make a few wrong decisions. So you don't come up with, well, you, because your life might be so in the realm of the soul now. And don't forget what 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, all right? Eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, nor enter into the heart of man the thing that God has prepared for them that love him. But God, verse 10, has revealed these things to us by Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things. So these depths of God are the things he wants to communicate to you. You might not pick them if you live in the realm of the soul. If you're shallow, you've got to go deep. You've got to go deep. So that's the encounter, guys. So because, you know, someone could say, well, if there's anything God says, tell me. I agree. But there will be a clause. How sensitive are you? How open are you? How pliable, how quick to respond are you? So we see the life of Abraham. Get out of your country, he gets out. All right, we see the life of Abraham. Circumcise yourself, I mean, yourself, your son, and everybody in the house. We see again, he does it. This is the man called Abraham. Genesis 22 from verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Some of us really need to come into terms with the fact that God could lead you without giving you the complete detail. So if you're so much of an analytical person, and you feel, well, I'm very analytical, I don't do stuff, please, it's wonderful to be analytical, but when you deal with God, you operate by faith. There are times when God gives you pictures, ideas, information. Some of that just says, take a first step. The other things will meet you on the way. And then you go by faith. So God tells Abraham in verse 2, as we end reading verse 2, says, upon one of the mountains that I will tell thee of. Verse 3 says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled the ass and took two of the young men with him and Isaac. I mean, He got up immediately. We see in Abraham's life prompt response. Now, please understand that Abraham didn't have the Holy Ghost within him, so Abraham was not in fellowship with God every day. There were years in between these things we just read. Many years. I mean, circumcision, all right? So, of course, this one now, Isaac was not a baby boy. The last instruction we saw of God talking to him about circumcision, Isaac had not been born. Okay, of course, that was Genesis 17. Then we see God show up again in Genesis 18. All right, so that's where Abraham's name was changed. That's where Sarah's name was changed. That's where Abraham and God talked about Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, no, forgive me. I just put all that together. So in Genesis 17, we have a change of name. All right, we have covenants. And then we have God talking to them about what's going to happen to them. All right, so we see all of that, you know, go on. So God changes name. All right, we see Abraham become Abraham. We see Sarah become Sarah. We see things happening to them here, you know, but we now get to Genesis 18. I'm trying to explain the years in between, and then there's fellowship again. God shows up and talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. But the point I'm still trying to make is it's not like Abraham and God are talking every day. Please understand that. It's not like Abraham and God talk every day. In between Genesis 15 and Genesis 17, there's space in between it. All right, in between Genesis 18. All right, 19, 20, 20, there's space in between that. All right, so you've got to understand that they didn't have the Holy Ghost. They didn't have this daily fellowship we've been blessed with. You and I have got to understand these men, Abraham and his children, had to learn something, and that's obedience, following the leadership of God. Genesis chapter 24, the second verse. And Abraham, all right? No, forgive me, the first verse. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed him in all things. That's Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. You might want to note that and check it on your own. Genesis 24, verse 1. I want to compare that with Genesis 13 and verse 2. Abraham, in this case, was very rich in cattle, in gold and silver. Chapter 12, he left his father's house. Yes, he didn't leave so broke. He had camel, he had servants, he had cattle servants and all. By 13, verse 2, Bible says, he was very rich in cattle. He had been increased. Of course, we see that in 12, he met with Pharaoh. Pharaoh tried taking Sarah. Pharaoh gave him money. You know, we see that happen. But this is because he's in obedience to God's plans. He's enjoying protection. He's enjoying preservation. He's enjoying favor. Even when he looked at it, wasn't straight about selling things for integrity's sake and for, oh, God has a plan for my life, I can't get into trouble. Whatever it is, God just still allows him to be blessed. That tells us that if we're in that place of obedience, there are many things we're going to enjoy, preservation inclusive. So Abraham is very rich in cattle, gold, and silver here in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 2. Then we get to Genesis 24 and the first verse, and Bible says Abraham was old, well stricken in years, and the Lord had blessed him in all things. Listen, we said yesterday, God would prosper every one of us if we allow ourselves to be led by His Spirit. If only. Now, we could do things by ourselves and say, yeah. And there are many believers in the name of hearing from God who folded their hands, have never made a move, never done the things they should do. No, God is not immobile. God is not stale. God is not mediocre. God is progressive. However, God is process-oriented also. So you must understand what and how God is dealing with you per time. So Samuel enters the house of Jesse, all right? Anoints David as king. Saul is still on the throne. David could have felt, well, I'm anointed king, I should be king. David has an opportunity to kill Saul, and if David had done that, he would have been king. But David told himself, I will not go this route. Saul eventually dies in battle. David becomes king. It takes 13 years for that to happen. Joseph sees dreams. All right, eventually sold in, becomes a slave. All that, and it takes like how many years again for that to happen? Process. But he could have just found his way, mapped his way, made something happen. Then yes, we will still celebrate what God will do. He could have even connived with, you know, Mrs. Potiphar and then just found the wolf reigning in Potiphar's house, or whatever it was going to happen, whatever might have happened, you know, to him. But he would still, so he would be celebrated, but not in the very center of the will of God for his life. In Genesis 26, we see Isaac, right, from verse 1. And there was famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of Gerar. Verse 2, and the Lord appeared unto him and said to him, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land that I will tell you of. Verse 3, stay in this land, and I will be with you. I will bless you, for unto you and to your seed will I give all these countries, and I'll perform the oath which I swear to your father. So we all like to read, you know, the 12th verse, that Isaac sowed in that land and received a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Then read the 13th verse, and the man waxed great, went forward and grew till he became very great. And we love this. And then, oh, verse 14, he had great possession of flocks, possession of herds, great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. We like this whole prosperity dimension, but it was brought by, or brought forth, all right? Brought forward, brought about by obedience. God said, don't go to Egypt, stay here. I will bless you. And he heard from God, and he stayed where God would have him be, and God prospered him. You got to understand this, guys. Maybe you tried a few relationships, they didn't work. Maybe you tried, you know, someone tried hooking you up, it didn't work. Your shepherd will lead you and lead you aright. Remember how Isaac got a wife. It was an impossible task Abraham gave to the servant. You will have to go to my in-law's house. All right, you would find a woman. The angel of God goes ahead of you. And the man gets there and prays an impossible prayer, naturally speaking. Whoever comes and I ask for water, gives the camels and gives me, she must be one. And everything played out straight up. Played out, guys. You know the story. God brought forth the fulfillment of a promise, even though, you know, things seemed practically impossible. Guys, what is the probability that you go to a city, then you tell a lady, give me a drink, and that lady feeds camels? A camel drinks about 10 gallons of water. So, is it 10 now? Maybe 40 or something. I'm trying to remember that. So camels, you know camels take water, all right? So it's not a glass of water. It's not a bowl of water, whatever it is you might have had to use that day. This is supernatural. Come on, somebody, come on. He's the shepherd, you are the sheep. He's the shepherd, you are the sheep. He's the shepherd, you are the sheep. He's the captain. He is the shepherd, you are the sheep. He leads, you follow. Come on, somebody. Come on. Come on. Come on. Take out time and quieten your mind in a place of prayer, in a place of worship. Oh, thank you, Lord. You are the shepherd. You are the shepherd. You are the shepherd. Don't forget where we began from. He said, look at Abraham. See what I did with him. We've looked. We've seen. We've peeped into Isaac right now. We see God increase the man. And God did that to every one of them. But there was obedience. There was obedience. Jacob didn't have to spend 20 years in Laban's house. He didn't have to labor or suffer for women. It was him trying to get to do things his own way. That was Jacob. He was a deal maker. All right, he made deals with his brother, you know, with the food and then the birthright. He made a deal, even with God, when God appeared to him. He said, if you take me, bring me back safely, I'll give you 10%. Listen, Isaac stayed in Gerar. He didn't make a deal with God. Jacob just loves to make deals. Maybe he likes to just bind people in a contract. So he gets to Laban's house and he does the same thing. Give me a wife. He said, uncle, I want to get married. Laban was the brother, all right? Laban was the brother to his own mother. So Laban was at home when the servant came. And Laban saw the whole transaction. And they asked his mom, how soon do you want to follow this man? I said, well, there's something I'm waiting for. Let me go. So Rebecca was picked up All right, the servant took her, and she was given over to Isaac, and they got married. So now he wants Rachel. And he says, give me a deal. No, uncle, I want to marry her. Okay, what do you have? Okay, uncle, I don't have anything. They would have still sorted out something. The blessing and the covenant was at work. So maybe for him, well, let me sort this out. Oh, no, but there is a shepherd. And after being with Laban 20 years, Laban changing his salary 10 times. God reveals him and said, go back to where we met. I need to meet with you better. Go back. And God reveals wisdom on how to prosper. Listen, this is God saying, I will prosper you people. I owe it to you because you are the children of Abraham. And you listening to me, you are the authentic seed of Abraham. We've dealt with that a few weeks ago. You are the seed of Abraham, and God's commitment has not failed. He will lead you. He will lead you to prosperity. He will lead you to a good home. He will lead you into great health. If things are not working for you, He will show you what to do. He will reveal steps you need to take. He will make things known to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So He is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. He is the God of Jacob. This is He. This is He. Do you understand that? And the key to a major aspect of blessing in all these men's lives, the key to it is their walk of obedience. Are you with me now? The key is the walk of obedience. So Isaiah 48 that we read yesterday, right, the 17th verse, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way that you should go. I teach you to profit. I lead you in the way that you should go. NLT says, this is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is good for you and leads you along the path you should follow. 18 says, oh, that you had listened to my command. Then you would have had peace flowing like a river and righteousness rolling over you like waves in the sea. Your descendants would have, been like the sand along the seashore, too many to count. There would have been no need for destruction or for your destruction or for cutting off your family name. This is God saying, just listen to me. Just listen to me. Just listen to me. Psalm 32, the 8th verse, okay, and the 9th verse, Psalm 32, verse 8. NLT says, thus saith the Lord, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. Nobody knows the road like God. Nobody's seen the end apart from God. Trust Him. Oh, Father, you are the shepherd. You are the shepherd. We are the sheep. We are the sheep. Verse 9 says, do not be like the senseless mule or, horse that needs a bit or a bridle. Now you may need to control. Let me just read, Passion and Sin as we close or prepare to close. I hear the Lord saying, I will stay close to you, instructing and guiding you along the pathway for your life. I will advise you along the way and lead you forth with my eyes as your guide. So don't make it difficult. This is verse 9. Don't make it difficult. Don't be stubborn when I take you where you've not been before. Don't make me tug you and pull you along. Just come to me. This is the life Abraham lived. He didn't have to be stubborn. He wasn't stubborn. He responded to God's leadings. All right? We have two more days this week to look at this. I believe it will be helpful. I believe, guys. Oh, thank you, Lord. You are the shepherd. We are the sheep. You lead, we follow. You lead, we follow. You are the shepherd. We are the sheep. You are the shepherd. We are the sheep. You lead, we follow. You lead, we follow. You are the shepherd. We are the sheep. You lead, we follow. You lead, we follow. I pray for every listener that you strengthen us all. By your spirit in our inner man, you will strengthen us. That the strength and the ability of Christ will rise up within us. Things will be clear for us. We'll rise up with boldness. Oh, and we'll hunger more for intimacy with you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We are sheep. We hear your voice. We follow you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for joining in. Please share. Let someone get blessed. And then we'll hook up again tomorrow. Blessings. Lost in the shadows of me.